know what time it is. Time to hang out
with Mr. Cool.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the lady school.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Hang with Mr. Cool.
With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper. With Mr. Cooper.
Get the lady school.
From Mr. Cooper. From Mr. Cooper.
Welcome to the Bit Scoop with Coop. I'm your host, Coop. Big shout out to everybody that's listening right now on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or wherever you're listening to. Also, don't forget, if you want to see the video recording of this show, make sure you go to thebitscoopwithcoop.com where you can catch episodes from season one all the way now. Also, you can catch me on Facebook, facebook.com/thebitscoopwithcoop. Also on Instagram, you can catch me there at Big Scoop with Coop, and on YouTube at The Bit Scoop with Coop. All right, people, enough about me. Today's guest, he is a writer, he is a producer, he is a director, he is an actor. He has been in so many different movies, from Black Lightning's Tobias Revenge, and he have a new movie that's coming out. It's called A New Life. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Choice Skinner. Choice has been doing a lot of things in the industry and even outside of the industry. Master of self-defense, plus actor, plus doing writing, directing, producing. Like I said, the sky's the limit for this guy. He can actually go beyond that. So we're going to kick it with Choice. We're going to find out what's going on with him. We're going to talk about the movie A New Life. We're going to talk about Black Lightning, Tobias Revenge. We're going to talk about how you can actually watch it also. All right, people, sit back, relax, and let's catch up with Choice. All right, people, let's kick it.
Thank you so much for that electrifying intro. That was awesome, man.
Hey, anytime. How's your day going so far?
It's going well. I mean, between making sure things are right in regards to the film and the marketing and all that we have to put together to prepare for August 11th, you know, it's a daily grind.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what's up. I'm in North Carolina, so the daily grind is this heat right now. We hitting almost close to the hundreds, and excuse my language, but the heat is on hell right now. So yeah. I definitely let you know that one. Yes, sir. Now, Choice, you know what? You've done a lot right now, you know, in the movie industry right now. You producer, director, you've acted. We're going to talk about Black Lightning also. Don't worry, people. We definitely will talk about that movie he did. Also, you know, you got a little is it safe to say mixed martial arts, or what will we say? What's the correct terminology for your background? Because the self-defense fighting skills is on lock, man. I've seen what you've done.
Thank you.
Yes. But we're gonna get into all of that in 1 minute. Now, right. Choice, like I said, a lot of people, if they're getting introduced to you for the first time, when did you first realize that you wanted to get into the movie television industry?
Well, it's funny that you just mentioned about the martial arts, because that's what segued me into film. Because I had to, when I was in Georgia, I was training martial arts and I had a school. And then when I moved to Los Angeles, I was working with an R&B artist named Rome. And after things didn't work out with him, I was like, well, I got all of this martial arts skill. Why don't I put it to use? So I checked into what it would take to do stunts. And I did a course with Art Camacho. He's a world-renowned stunt teacher, coordinator, and a director as well. And he's like, man, you got all the moves, but you can't act, man, you suck. So I was like, well, I don't have a problem with knowing that. Just give me the means to get better. And so I started doing stunts, and that's kind of what got me into the world of acting and the world of film. Knowing how to act opposite Tom Cruise and take a punch was the key in regards to the stunt world. So I moved a little away from the stunts into more on the acting and more on the film side of the business.
Wow. So let me ask you about the stunts real quick. So when you first stepped foot on set and you actually had to start your stunts, what was it to the point where when a fighting scene came up, in your natural mind, you was like, okay, I'm going to have to hit this dude before he hit me. What was going through your mind?
That was a tough trade. Because by nature, I'm more of a self-defense practitioner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been studying 39 years of my life, you know, next January will be 40 years.
Congrats.
Yeah. I just got it. Into the Hall of Fame for that. So, Shout out to Shidoshi Ron Van Cleef for putting me in that. But it was a tough transition because you're right. My natural instinct would want to take over. But the thing about stunts, you learn patience and you learn that the key, we always say our number one motto is safety first. So I'd probably be the one to get hit before an actor or someone else would, because I would have to hesitate to make sure that I'm not kicking into my natural instinct.
Ooh. I know Walgreens, CVS, Walmart. I know all them people love you, man. I know you be buying the Tylenol up because being on set, you know, doing stunts. And I'm saying it jokingly, but at the serious point too, because a lot of people think, oh, I can do this. But when you on set from 6 to 8 to 10 to 12 hours and you're taking on shots, rolling down, falling, you're putting, you know, physical input and pressure to your body.
Yeah.
So, and I know you've been, you know, self-defense and everything for over 30 years, but, you know, being on the movie side of things, you got to feel it a little bit, the physicality.
Yeah. I mean, and I'll tell you, when you know, you mentioned Black Lightning and Tobias's Revenge, when I did that, I had on a restricting motorcycle suit that was custom made to fit me. Like, we went and got the leather sized and the emblem was put on by Joan Moten and James mm-hmm. in Black. And, you know, we took all of the necessary things to make it look great, but we didn't take into account that I got a fight in it. And so, man, I was sore for 3 weeks after that because it's very restrictive. A lot of times when you see these suits, now they do more CG generation in regards to the suits and stuff, but mine was practical. So you feel, as a person on set, if you have to do something over and over and over, and that was the thing that you learned, like I said, the patience and understanding that safety is first, because all it takes is one wrong move. Yep. Stunt players get paid more than actors. People don't even realize that. They don't mm-hmm. know. And I mean, deservingly so. If you're jumping out of the second or third story window, it's different than crying from your right eye five times, you know?
Yeah, you got that right. A tissue can fix that. Tylenol, broken bones, you know, tissue can't fix that. Yeah. It definitely can't. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, that's watching worldwide right now, I want you to make sure you pay attention to Choice, what he's saying, because he's dropping gems. People don't want to get into the industry right now. If you think about doing stunts, make sure you get trained well, because it's not no one shot take. It ain't no, oh, I fall one time, okay, go to the next scene. You fall wrong, get up, and you got to do it again.
Yeah, the camera didn't catch it. We had a light change. There's so many things that can disrupt it. But now with the advent of digital cameras, see, when I was doing stunts, mm-hmm. when I first started learning, it was film. I mean, we did Ooh. Have digital, but it wasn't what you would use. You wouldn't use digital on the main sets. It was stuff for behind the scenes or maybe a commercial or music video. But now you can have 8-12 cameras, you capture the stunt. So if one camera misses it or something happens, you can fix it in post, yeah. or you can fix it by using another shot from another camera. But back in those days, it was film. And you had to get it right.
That's true. Now, Choice, you kind of answered my next question to a certain extent, but I'm going to still ask you, what type of hurdles did you go through when you first got into this industry?
Well, it wasn't as sweet for Black people. Mm-hmm. I mean, people of color in general, but for Black people, it wasn't as sweet. There may have been on television a good 10 or 12% of roles out at that time. And we all fought for the same roles. You know, we all fought to be on The Shield, and we all fought to be on, CW and the WB and Fox at that time. And all of those shows that were coming out, you know, for actors, it wasn't a lot of work. The strike that happened back then destroyed a lot of careers. It put mine on the grind. But I think the number one adversity that I had back then that I don't have now was when I would go into the room with a full script, I'd write a script, go in and say, I want to write, direct this and produce it and maybe act in it. And they would look at me and go, and they would laugh. Mm-hmm. They would laugh at me because it was like, this black guy wants to come in and do all of this. It's like, and now I'm able to do it without any constraints or any restraints today. Yeah. So when people tell me, oh, I have this idea, there's a script, there's this project I want to do, I say, well, do it. And they don't understand that where I'm coming from was a time when we were restricted to do it because the cameras made it possible to where you can do it. The cameras made it because once they made it cheaper to be able to use those cameras, mm-hmm. you have no excuse. You have a camera in your hand now with that iPhone or with the Android.
Yep.
But back then, you had to have a full set. You had to have film canisters. You had to have film development. It was film. Mm-hmm. And so now it's easier to put your idea into conception and to completion. Whereas back then, no. There weren't, you know, when you look at the films that are classics back then, they were a struggle to get off the ground. I mean, any film is still a struggle to get off the ground. But back then, for black people seen a certain way, oh, no.
Yeah. And you see, that's what a lot of people, I think, that are just fans of the industry. You know, they haven't been in the movie. They're like, well, if Top Gun was shot back in the 80s and this new one is out now, it's just made the same way. No, two totally different things going on here. Because you, like you said, Choice, the digital world has kicked in more now. So it's not like that. And like you said, also people of color. That was very hard for us to get into anything. Unless you're doing a straight up indie movie. And what I mean by indie, as in I shot this in my mom's basement. Now, let me just show people that walking down the street or at school what I shot. That's what I mean, like, by that part.
If you shot a film on VHS or something like that, it was considered straight to video. It was the equivalent of what Tubi is like.
Yep.
But, you know, there's stuff on Tubi that's great. Like,
they
knock it, but they don't realize that Tubi is similar to that of the CW to WB, mm-hmm. Fox. They always use us. They always use black people to start the building of something. And then they come in and swoop in. They take it over. Yep. And then they do their thing. And then they fail. And then they use us again in order to build it back up.
And then when they finally get it right, they take credit for everything.
Yes, of course. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I've been there. I know. I've seen it. I definitely seen it. Now, Choice, did you have any mentors to help you out through the industry? We know we heard about, you know, when you're doing self-defense, who helped you out there. But in the television movie industry, did you have any mentors?
Man, I can, you know, shout out to my manager, Shaw Ross.
What up, Shaw?
Yeah. Ross Stevens, Artist Entertainment. I mean, we've been together for a long time. But that's a loyalty thing. And then that's the thing of understanding that we complement each other in the work. So I would say for sure she's hands down one of the top mentors because I learned so much from her even still now after all these years. The Hillenbrand brothers, they were two very instrumental figures in my career teaching me about film. They were the ones that once I got into stunts, they hired me for several of their films. So they're no longer in the film industry. One of them is. He's always telling me that he's got a project he wants me to be a part of, but that was such a long time ago. But they also were the first people to take me out the country. You know, that's the gift of being in the film industry. They took me to Romania, and I got to be stunt coordinator and got a little bit part in that film that they did. I had specific entertainment people who were kind enough to share information with me mm-hmm. throughout the years because you know, you got to understand right now we're on the cutting edge of information. The information highway is huge. YouTube University is, you know, cranking people out with certification.
Yeah.
Back then, everything was in books. And if you had to go to film school, you knew you were going to be paying anywhere from $100,000 to $200,000 just to go. So it was books. And I did the same thing that I did when I was in music. I'm like, I learned by reading a lot of books. I'd go to the library, bring out like 8 or 9 books. Film was the same way. I just knew there was no way I was going to have that amount of money to go to UCLA or to USC or, you know. And so I just said, you know, let me just go in and research this and learn about it. And, you know, there were those people in my career who, like the Hillenbrands, they taught me about lenses, you know, what lens sizes and stuff, just being on the set and being in the video village because I was acting at that time and doing stunts. So you get to see how things are done. You just ask questions. And I was fortunate that I had people who did mention a lot to me about the film industry.
Hey, you know what, Choice? And I tell a lot of people, there's so many different sayings that's up in the movie industry, television industry. They say it's who you know. Some people say it's who knows you. My philosophy is those two put together plus one more. The person that knows you, that you know, that believes in you and give you that shot, that can shoot you up to the moon and back. And that's the thing. That's all it takes. It's just that one person that can open that one door for you. You can run like Forrest Gump. Really can.
Yeah, the wind beneath right your wings. That's, you know, the wind beneath your wings. I mean, and I say that too. You know, people think that a lot of times when you see a lot of these talented people that have arrived, right? Oh, he's arrived or she's arrived. They don't know all the work that was behind the scenes, the different things that happened. They don't know the true narrative. I have a very well-known casting director, a director friend, and she mentions that all the time. She says, speak the true narrative. Tell what really happened. Tell the whole story. People don't know what goes into building a talent and the belief. You're right. The belief, someone believing in you is irreplaceable and very powerful. I know a lot of people in the industry, their parents disowned them because they chose the career path of entertainment. Yep. And they totally cut them off.
Yep.
And once they became successful, then their parents came back into their life. So you see that a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that should make you feel, and that person, it'll make them feel a certain way. Like, why weren't you there for me when I told you I wanted to try this? And why you didn't believe that I could be successful, had a faith I could be successful. Mm-hmm. And now the success hits. Oh yeah, I knew you could do that. No, in the back of your mind, you're like, no, you didn't. Now mm-hmm. you're seeing it happen. So I get it. I definitely get it. I definitely do.
I think every industry has that. I think everyone goes through that. I think, you know, sports players get a little bit more love from the hood and their family because the amount of money that you can make being an athlete, it's outstanding. But entertainment is looked down on because, first off, a lot of people can do it. You know, a lot of people in the church can sing. A lot of guys on the hood that are wanting to rap, you know.
Yeah.
Things a little different because it is a skill that takes a sense of discipline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, what happened was that Snapchat and all of those the Instagram and all those Vine of those things started making it where young brothers and young sisters in the hood can become famous off of one viral video. But that doesn't mean that they develop their discipline because you get up, some of them would do the Vine, they'd shoot 5 or 6 videos in one day.
Yep.
At the high noon when the light is being blasted out and everything's overexposed, it didn't matter because it was quick and easy and cheap, you know, content.
That's true.
You see what I'm saying? But
yeah, I do.
If you pick up a camera now, great, the camera does a lot of the work. But you still have to know the fundamentals and the basics of how you work your ISO, how you work your exposure, how you work your all of the different aspects of the camera, your shutter speed and all of that stuff. And should I use a 50 lens or 85 or 100 or 25 or what's a master shot? What's a close up? What's a medium shot? You know, those things, they're still that is employed on a film set.
That's true. And you see a lot of people, they see other people get online and say, oh, I use this, I'm making this up, JVC 1080 camera. That's the model number. And they think that's all they need to do is run and get that camera and start doing this. No, man. You can't just hold a camera like a bazooka and think you're going to actually shoot something. It don't get down like that. You got to know your skill.
Yeah, they don't have the horizons right. They're crossing the line.
Yep.
just the coverage is bad. Focus is out of focus. There's no depth of field. And, I'm not one to laugh at anything that people do as an accident or they don't know because they're ignorant of what the process is. Mm-hmm. The thing that I've always learned is that you have to pursue excellence.
Yeah.
You have to pursue excellence, because then you're able to sit amongst the big boys and say, oh, I did this and I did it less than you did it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a story I'll tell you real quick. I had won the Octavia Spencer's Facebook challenge. And it was just basically she put a challenge on her Facebook page and said, I want all filmmakers that are in my friends list to post a short. And if you win, you'll win $1,000. You win a camera, a tripod, and you'll win entry into one of the film festivals that she basically is sponsoring. And I had a 2 to 3 minute short that I put on her page and it won. It was about HIV and it won. And I thought it was a joke when her agents and them hit me up and said, oh, you won. I was like, what is this? I thought it was some scam. And I ended up winning and I went to New York. And mind you, I shot that short on a very early version of the iPhone. It was like the iPhone 4.
Wow.
Yeah, that far back. And 4S, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And when it screened, all the filmmakers came down in front of the screen and we were talking and they were asking us our budget. And one of the guys before me, he said, well, I shot it on the Red. My short was $50,000. And then it comes to me and they said, well, what was your budget? And I said, well, I shot it on the iPhone. And the guy next to me was like, an iPhone? And I said, and it was for the cost of the bus ride for 4 people. He was like, an iPhone the whole night. He said, how did you shoot that on the iPhone? And I said, the information is always there, man. It you just have to search out and reach out for it. But the most important aspect of anything regarding film work is telling the story, having a great story.
That's true. That's true. And you know what, Troy? You was actually before your time, man, doing this.
Yeah.
Because people didn't start shooting on the iPhone until what? Right about a few years before COVID?
Yeah.
Somewhere in that time?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Now, Troy, talking about movies, man, let's go on and get into this. You played the role of Jefferson Pierce, Black Lightning, Tobias Revenge.
Yeah.
Now, how excited were you to actually be on set to play that role?
Well, what happened was we were right in the middle of finishing up a feature film. I had shot a film called Wingman Inc. I had directed a cast and crew of 90 to 100 people. It was a 12-day shoot. It might have been 16 days. But we had shot that film, and then I went into this Christian film that I've always wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And we ran into a problem of finishing a lot of the VFX of that. James and Black, one of my close, dear friends, and an amazing filmmaker, actor, everything. He's like me, but he just got dressed. We were working on the film. It was basically called Keep the Faith. And we finished 85 to 90% of it, but we needed some more money. And at that time, there wasn't a way to complete films like that, And so we were like, all right, well, while we're working on finding money for this film, let's figure out something else that'd be like a calling card. Let's find another project that we can do that would put us out there. And so we, at that time, I was like, superhero projects. I'm seeing these young cats do these little 2 minute, 3 minute shorts and getting movie deals. And I'm like, okay, well, we can do that. Right? We just did this other feature film. We can do that. And so I told him, we're going to work on, I looked up and I said, I want to play superhero. And I looked up all the different superheroes. And I said, ooh, Black Lightning. Nobody's talking about him. He's obscure. You know, nobody, you know, unless you were in the 70s and 80s, you don't really know who he is. So I'm going to do Black Lightning. So I called James up. I said, I'm going to do Black Lightning, and I'm going to have you come in as Static. He was like, what? Really? Okay, cool. So it was a whirlwind, man. It just fell together. All of the actors from my acting studio, I gave them all different roles and different positions. I helped them to become producers and set people. And when you're acting and directing and write and you wrote it and you're producing, it just, you don't even think about it, man. You just go. So on set, I didn't really feel powerful until I had the suit on. When I had the suit on, to answer your question, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this now. I'm doing this. Because it's like I said, the suit was restricting. It was a tight suit.
Right.
So it opened up a mental thing for me, because as an actor, you work from the outside in or the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
With that film, doing it, I was in when I had the suit on.
Gotcha.
If I didn't have the suit on, I was just directing. Or I was working the camera.
Understandable. Definitely understandable. So was this movie influenced by the CW show?
No. See, that's what people don't know. Okay. We started production on a Black Lightning, the short film.
Mm-hmm.
We started 4 years prior to them actually releasing the film. Their
wow.
show. So the first 2 years we were working on it. We shot it. We had it in the can, and we started working on the VFX. At the second year, it's when the CW announced it. And they said, oh, we're doing a Black Lightning TV series. We were like, what? So we was like, okay, we broke it up into two different parts at first, right? The film, because it was like 34 minutes.
Right.
So we said, let's make it an episode. Let's do episode one and then episode two, because we were working on getting the VFX done. It was only three of us working on it. And maybe we hired out with one person for specific stuff. But it took 2 years additional to get that VFX done. So by the time the show came out, we had completed it. Literally, we finished it before the show, but by months, maybe. By months, we finished it. So everyone thought, oh, you guys, you was inspired by the CW. Like, no. If you look at our version, it's really close to the comic.
Yep, it is.
It's very close to the comic. And I've had people say that. They would go, man, this is not to knock that, but this is more closer to Jefferson Pierce. And I'm like, yeah, it was important. That's why I picked it.
So it's more influenced by the comic than it is CW.
Well, the CW took a lot of attention away from Jefferson and put it on everybody else. That, you know, it didn't really matter. You know, for me, it's like he represents what Black men can be, man.
It's true.
And I didn't want to play a troubled character. I wanted to play a character that respected the community, respected his family, you know, was upstanding as a Black man. I love those characters. Any character that has redemptive qualities.
Wow.
So yeah, that's the gist of it. Mind you, they took, you know, everyone was like, well, maybe they'll have you, you know, because remember, our objective was to get seen, use it as a calling card.
Right.
Ain't no meetings popped up. Nobody called. People That's watched crazy. It. They were like, eh. You know, I mean, I got people today. They go, man, the VFX looks 10 times better. I'm like, yeah, because it was three of us working for 2 years on it.
That's true. Now, Choice, how can everybody see that movie?
It's on YouTube and Vimeo. Just punch in Black Lightning, Tobias's Revenge, and it pops up. It's one of the, on the first page of YouTube, if you punch it in, Black Lightning, Tobias's Revenge, it pops right up. You'll see it's a strong picture of me. I was learning at that time basically how to work the algorithm and stuff, and how to make sure, you know, the whole YouTube process, man, and for marketing, for any of you young budding filmmakers, the marketing and the promotion is crucial. You can have the best film on YouTube, but if nobody knows it exists, it doesn't matter.
It just sits in lost in space.
Yeah, so for us, if you punch in Black Lightning, and I've been blessed, man. I've had people put together different formats of like, okay, Black Lightning movie, Black Lightning comic, Black Lightning TV show, Black Lightning fan film. So I've been a part of that kind of stuff, which was really cool for me.
That's what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, watching worldwide, make sure you go to YouTube, watch the movie. But don't go right now because you're watching this interview. After the interview, go check out Black Lightning, Tobias Revenge. That's something that you definitely, definitely, definitely want to see.
Yeah, now, we are over 500,000 views, so 500,000 views. The 50th anniversary of it being put up online in its complete form.
Nice.
Last week. So, yes. Like, share, subscribe, definitely.
You heard Choice. I don't have to say it again. You heard what the man said. Go do it after this interview. Go do it. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about that backdrop that you got going on right now. So you got this movie out. It's called A New Life. You directed it and you produced it. Am I correct?
I wrote, directed, produced, edited, and lensed it. I picked up the camera and shot it.
So how excited were you when this movie finally started coming into fruition, when everything started getting put together? How excited were you when you was on set?
I'll tell you a story real quick. So many, many years ago, I went to a screening of a movie called Last Holiday with Queen and LL Cool J. Mm-hmm. I knew the director, not the director, the producer of that film. Okay. And I told him, I said, man, this film's going to do really, really good, blah, blah, blah. He said, you don't know the numbers. And then he explained to me, he said, this film is over 20 years old. And I said, what? He said, yeah, we had so many different people. Yep. We had Will Smith attached to it at one point. We had all these different people attached to it. That was the story of that film over 20 years. This film, A New Life, is over 20 years old. It's the first screenplay that I wrote solo. It is it's about 23 years actually.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when I wrote it, and that's going back to that time that we were talking about when, you know, for Black filmmakers, you could write a script, it didn't mean anything. If it wasn't part of the film system, studio system, you weren't gonna get it made. If you couldn't get like a Morris Chestnut, who I initially wrote it to have Morris Chestnut star in it. At that time, it was Morris Chestnut and Lisa Ray.
Okay.
So I was like, if I can get them to be in it, I can get it made. No. So, you know, it hit the shelf and it collected dust. And just recently, you know, during my acting class, I had an actor, Chris Rouse, who I was like, he had did a scene from it because I was using it in my workshop. I was using the script, different scenes from the script in my workshop. Mm-hmm. I do that with a lot of my scripts. And so when Chris first did it, he was a newbie in my class and he kind of bombed at it, man. He sucked the air out the room. It was bad, right?
Right.
And so about a year and a half, almost 2 years later, he did it again with a new actress and he murdered it. And I started thinking, I said, man, Chris, I said, you really murdered this scene. If I ever made this film, I'd cast you as the lead. And he's like, thank you. He took all of the advice and everything. And in the night, I said, hey, Chris, I said, would you want to read this script? Now, mind you, it was over. At that time, it was 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, sure. He read it. He liked it. And I said, if I was able to get this off the ground, would you want to play the lead? I have you start a lead, bring you as a producer. He said, yes. And that started the process. So fast forward to us being on the set. It was lockdown in Los Angeles. It was COVID lockdown. There was nothing going on.
Mm-hmm.
My actors didn't care about that. They wanted work. You know, that's just who we are.
And that's how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I mean, so we were able to be on set. And like I said, you know, I had the camera. So I will attribute a lot of the success of the completion of the film to Ramsey Phillips, my AD. Because there were several times where I didn't want to keep going. I was like, I don't want to do this.
Oh, man.
And Ramsey would send call sheets out anyway. And he knew my personality, whereas if I make a promise and I got to be there, I'm going to be there.
Yep.
So he would send them call sheets out, man. I'm like, oh, Ramsey, you know. And he'd take over the reins, literally. He'd tell everybody, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're doing this. We shot it in 16 days. We knocked it out. Ramsey also was a very instrumental part in the keeping the glue together of it, because I had what's called diverticulitis.
Okay.
Some people know of it, they don't know what it is. But I was getting a lot of flare-ups. And for me, it's stress-induced. So I was on the set, we were shooting the first week, we were knocking it out, And I knew something was wrong because I was sweating more than I needed to. Come to find out I had a flare up. So that shut production down for almost 2 weeks. But if you see the film, the baby shower is when I came back. That was my first day back after having a shutdown.
Gotcha. When's this movie dropping?
It drops August 11th on all major streaming platforms, Amazon Prime, Vudu, Xfinity, Infinity, Cox. Okay. A lot of major platforms will have it. Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen worldwide, make sure August the 11th, you stay tuned. You want to watch this movie. A lot of work's been put into it. It's a movie that you're going to love. Tell your family, your friends, your associates. Man, forget it. Tell your haters. Tell everybody, go watch this movie. Make sure you do it. Now, Choice, this last part of the episode right here is called Take the Floor. You have up to 2 minutes to say whatever you want. Choice Skinner, take the floor.
All right. Well, one of my favorite mottos is greatness recognizes greatness. And I just want everyone to know that I made a new life as a tribute to the Black community and Black men in particular. A lot of the topics and the subject matter of the film deals with the perspective of Black men that we don't really get to hear or see. Our devotion to our family, our passion to be great fathers, our love for our family and our culture. So when you watch the film, what I want people to get is the essence of understanding that Black men, we're so much more than just rappers or athletes or, you know, cats in the hood and what you see in the media. We're deep, profound individuals. We love, we care, and we sacrifice a lot. You know, I was telling somebody just recently, this other brother, man, I said, man, I understand. You know, people talk a lot about mental health, but they don't understand the day-to-day things that we have to deal with as Black men. We get it. You know, they always say, oh, you know, Black women, they have it harder than anybody. It's like, I mean, we're told to suck it up and keep stepping. You know, I'm not even going to get into the thing of crying. I'm just talking about be okay no matter what. You got to be strong. You got to be okay. And then all the darts that are thrown at us, we have to accept those as well. Mm-hmm. And I want people to understand that the industry, it needs us. Black people, it needs us. Don't ever let anybody make you believe that you don't have any attributes that you can bring to the game. Don't let them make you believe that. You just keep pushing, you just keep working, because there's days when I'm down and I'm like, okay, man, but look, 23 years later, something that I wrote, I actually completed it and it's coming out and people are going to watch it and they're going to enjoy it, because that's my objective. My objective is to strengthen and build the Black community through media.
That's what's up. Choice, man, once again, thank you for coming on the show. You are awesome at what you do. You got a lot of things going on. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, make sure you go check out A New Life. Make sure for the 100th time, check out Black Lightning, Tobias Revenge. Make sure you follow him on social media. Give it real quick. How can everybody follow you on social media?
Yeah, on Instagram, you can catch me at DARKAN2000. That's Darkan2000. On Twitter, I'm DARKANENT. On Facebook, it's Choice, Choice, J Skinner, my full name. And then I'm on TikTok as well, DARKANENT, and A New Life Film. So TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram, you can find the film, A New Life Film, A New Life Film, all one word, on all of those platforms.
That's what's up. Make sure you follow and keep up with everything that's going on. Choice, I'd love to have you back on the show in the future.
Absolutely. I'll be working on some other stuff, so definitely. Gotcha.
All right, guys, make sure you stay tuned to the Bit Scoop with Coop. My next episode, my next guest is, you know, I never announce my next guest. You better watch out on social media to find me. All right, people, until the next time on the Bit Scoop with Coop. Peace.